Influencers, Men's Ministry.
Lord, shine your light on me. Lord, shine your light on me. You're the Heavenly Father. You're the King of Kings. So Lord, shine your light on me.
Influencers is a ministry to men designed to help men live Christ-centered lives, no matter where they're called to worship. You may find us on the web at influencerswest.org.
Done. I can't wait to hear what I got to say. Because most of the time I have no idea. You know, we're camped out and stuck in humility. We started out saying there are five reasons why I'm excited about Jesus Christ. This is the basic series, but I decided to add a six, and the six was humility, and we're about on our third or maybe fourth week on humility because it's a big deal. It's not just one of those topics you say, well, we talked about truth, we talked about humility. They're all big deals, but this is really a big deal. When it comes to humility, if this quote is true, it says, humility won't necessarily get you into heaven, but you definitely are not going to be there without it. So there's a lot of people that are humble people, but they don't know the Lord. They have a humble spirit, they have a humble attitude, they serve others, but they don't know the Lord. But when you know the Lord, one of the first things that happens is, first, he tells you how much he loves you. And the second thing is he begins to develop a humble spirit within you. Have this attitude in you that was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the name of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be grasped. He found himself in the appearance of a man. And being found in the appearance of a man, he humbled himself. He emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant. And he became obedient even to the point of death on a cross. Have this attitude in you, which was also in him. And what was that? He found himself as a man. And as a man, what did he do? He humbled himself. It's like Micah 6:8 said. What does the Lord require of you, O man, but that you do justice and love mercy and walk proudly with your God? Oh, yeah, humbly with your God. That's an important thing. Don't miss. Is there any other way to walk with God? If you're not hearing from God right now, if you're having a hard time, if there seems to be a ceiling up there and your prayers aren't getting through, just get on your knees. Just get on your knees before the Lord and just say, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. You know, that's that passage where Jesus told about the prayer times. You know, the Jews had prayer times three times a day in the synagogue. And they had it at 9 in the morning and at 12 and at 3. And there was a lot of people that would come in to the synagogue to pray. And Jesus told about two guys that came into the synagogue to pray. And one of them was a Pharisee. And the Pharisee came in and he's standing before the altar. And he prayed this prayer. Oh God, thank you that I'm not like other men. Thank you that I'm not like that adulterer over there, or guys that lie and steal. And thank you that I'm not like this tax gatherer who was the other guy there. Thank you I'm not like this tax gatherer. Because, you know, I'm in the synagogue all the time. I keep all the rules. I tithe 10%. And then the tax gatherer standing next to him said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And then Jesus said, which one do you think found pleasure in the eyes of the Lord? You know, humility and pride are difficult things. It's a kind of thing like all the principles and truths of Scripture. It's very difficult to keep it and say, I've got it, without losing it. As soon as you know you've got humility, you're pretty much close to losing it. Amen?
Amen.
It's that thing that God works in that you become without even knowing it. See, the general way the Holy Spirit works in our lives is we like to conquer weakness and sin and stuff in our lives by taking it head on. Let's say I'm going after anger. I'm going to get in a group. I'm going to get accountable. I'm going to stop this and start that. And it's just a struggle. And Jesus said, you know, when you get tired of doing all that and having temporary success but not permanent success with this thing, come and see me. When you get burdened down and you get desperate enough, then come to me and I'll give you rest. So, you know, it's not that those other things don't have some value here and there, but if you don't start with humility before God, if you don't start with humbling yourself and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I don't care what, I mean, books you read or counseling appointments you go to or recovery groups. Your heart is not going to be in a place where you can receive and be changed. A lot of times, and most times, when God is working something into our lives, whether it's a spiritual characteristic or one of His fruit of His Spirit, and He's always doing that. You're always in a struggle. You're always going to be fighting and striving, and that's what the world's all about. We were born onto a spiritual battlefield. The world, the flesh, and the devil. And any one of them, half of any one of them, we're overmatched. And so God really didn't create man to be in a spiritual battlefield. He created him for a garden. He created him to have fellowship with Him. He created him to have unity and love and courtesy and respect for each other. That's what He created man for, and that's what man had until the pride came in, which is what Satan always appeals to you. Last time you got angry, the devil probably came along and said, you going to let them treat you that way? There they go again. They said it again. That's a big one, too. I'm putting that... My resentment bank's getting bigger and bigger. How's that doing for you? How's that resentment bank you have toward people and circumstances and things, worry and anxiety, how's that doing for you? And why would you want to carry that around? Why would you want to have stuff and focus on stuff that causes anger and disappointment and bitterness and resentment and revenge? All that toxic stuff that just eats our soul away, that puts us on medication, that breaks relationships. See, that's what sin does when it's not checked. What we like to do as men, because the old man code says you can handle it yourself. I don't need no stinking counseling. You can make it. If you're a real man, see, if you're a real man, you ought to be able to figure this out. You ought to be able to handle it on your own. I mean, I see enough gray hair in here that we got a lot of wisdom in this room. A lot of sages has already figured out that ain't working. So all of you who don't have gray hair and those of you who have colored hair. Or no hair. The back of your head is famous. See? It's not just these guys. It's everybody looking in on streaming video. There's people in China looking at the back of your head right now. Moving right along. Exercises in humility. But you know, one of the things that really grieves God's heart is false humility. You know, it's not only possible, it's probable that you and I are going to be victims of what you call false humility. See, there's a sense of finding your worth in Jesus Christ. But most guys, and we've been over this a million times, but just in case you missed it those million times, most guys are stuck in being unworthy. We're performance-based, okay? We're works-based, we're merit-based. We find our value in what we've accomplished, what we've done, and we get really bummed out on that system when we don't get it done, when we fall short of the mark, when we make a stupid choice, bad decision, and then we have to suffer the consequences of it. You know, we jumped off the house thinking we could defy gravity. There's a lot of guys that feel like they're going to defy gravity. Everybody else is becoming, you know, addicted to that, but I won't. But then there's this false humility that says, and, you know, when you look at Scripture, and Jesus would come along to a guy, and you know who he usually comes to? He comes to guys that are feeling pretty unworthy. I mean, Moses left Egypt, right? He killed a guy that was beaten on a Jewish slave, and then he had to get out of town. And he forsake the palace and all that he had been, you know, awarded and rewarded with by God. And he left and went to the desert, and he was out there for 40 years. 40 years will humble a guy in the desert. He's walking along minding his own business, tending the sheep one day, and there's a bush on fire over here. The difference in this bush on fire and most bushes on fire is this was on fire, but it wasn't consumed. It just kept burning. And the Lord was in the bush. And the Lord had a little powwow with Moses at that time and basically said, Moses, my children have been crying out for 400 years in Egypt. Now, you're talking about seldom early, but never late. I'd say the slaves in Egypt were thinking, where is God and what's going on here? Is he ever going to deliver us? And so it was time, in the fullness of time, and God's got his own time schedule, which is usually not ours. In the fullness of time, he came along and said, Moses, I want you to go get my slaves free. I want you to go to Pharaoh. Moses' first response is, I can't speak. Who am I to go to Pharaoh? I have no credentials. Probably in the back of his head, he's thinking, you know, the statute of limitation may not have run out on that murder. But he's given God all these excuses why he can't do it. I've seen missionaries get up and talk poor. Oh, well, you know, we're behind and we don't have enough. And not just missionaries, a lot of people talk poor. But when a Christian talks poor and he's saying, well, I don't have enough and I can't, you know, we're not sure we're going to make it, it may be true. But isn't that a slap in God's face? It's a time a group told me one time, we only have 3 months in the bank. We got to cut salaries. We got to limit the expenses. Here's the new policies. And I just said, I don't think so. That's all fear-based stuff. We're going to be faith-based. How much do you say we have in the bank? 3 months. But we're losing more than's coming in. Well, that's one focus you could have. Here's another focus. Praise God, we got 3 months in the bank. Wouldn't it be a slap in God's face if we say, God, we're not sure you're going to keeping 3 months in the bank, so we're going to make some policies and we're going to limit this and we're going to cut that. That sounds like good business practices. It may be an occasion. More times than not, though, it's fear-based rather than faith-based ministry, which is what we have mostly, whether it be missions or churches or whatever you have, a bunch of fear-based people running a faith-based operation, and it ain't working. It's just not working. He also went to Gideon. Gideon was this really brave guy that was threshing wheat down in the hole, because the Midianites were just coming and they didn't want to steal their food. They wanted to destroy their food. They were having a big problem with those guys. So he said, I'm going to hide out and thresh this wheat. Maybe they won't find me. And down there in that hole, God found Gideon, the guy that he wanted to defeat the Midianites and lead the Jewish armies against them. You know the story. God comes over and sits under a tree and he goes, Gideon, mighty man of valor, mighty man of war, mighty warrior. And Gideon, he probably didn't even look up. He went, well, if God is with you, is what he said. And he says, if he's with us, how come we've been under the hand of the Midianites like that? How come he's not delivering us? Because you're the mighty man of valor I want to deliver you from the Midianites. Who, me? You don't understand. I come from the worst tribe in the whole Jewish nation, and I'm the least guy in the whole deal. When's the last time you told God that? Who, me? Mighty man of valor? Serve here, lead that, do that. We tell God that all the time. It's false humility. And what it is it's focusing on me and my abilities instead of God and His abilities. That's fear-based. That's fear that you're going to be embarrassed, that you won't be able to make it, that you'll become a failure. And so you start making fear-based decisions. You X God out, if you will, as if God's not able and God's not powerful. Listen, all of you who are feeling convicted right now, I want you to go to Philippians 4:13 and take a pencil and mark it out. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So God's going, look, Moses, I'm going to be with you. Same thing with Caleb and Joshua when they went with the 12 spies into the promised land. They come back. And the report from the 10 is, no way. They got giants in the land. God had already said, I'm going to deliver the land to you. And they're going, yeah, well, I know what God said, but you know what I say? Those giants are really big. Which David was just the opposite. David was looking at a, 12-foot giant. My God will deliver this uncircumcised Philistines into my hands. He was looking at what God could do. He went to Saul, and Saul goes, you're just a youth. You can't do this. I'm glad David didn't believe him. David said, I want to tell you something. I've been tending sheep on my father's ranch down here for years. God has delivered me from the lion. He's delivered me from the bear. He will deliver this uncircumcised Philistine into my hands. He was looking at what God could do, what God had done. You're going to be fear-based, and I will too, and we all are from time to time, but you don't want that to be the rule. You want it to be the exception in your life, and you want it to be temporary. That fear is always going to come after you. The fear of failure, the fear of loss, the phone call that came, and all of a sudden now you're fearful. Instead of keeping your eyes on the Lord. When you keep your eyes on the Lord, Isaiah said that he will keep you in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on Him. Guys, we're fighting in a war right now, and we're in a world that is do nothing but fear. You watch the news, when you change channels, you'll be fearful. You'll be worried. You listen to all the talk radio and everything, and it's not that it's not true. It's not that these things aren't real. But if you're not seeing it through a faith-based God grid, and if you're not seeing it through the worthiness of Christ, not your own unworthiness, not what you are able to do, not by power or by might, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. The Scripture is just full of illustrations of men like you and me that God would come to. And He doesn't give us all a great assignment. You're going to be the general of the army that's going to defeat the Midianites. You're going to be the young man that goes in and proves that it's me, not anybody else, that's taking this giant down with one smooth stone. You don't need all five of those. You just need one and me. We're a majority. Breakthroughs is what we need. We need breakthroughs in our hearts and our lives to believe that we are who God said we are. We're worthy in Jesus Christ. We're able in Jesus Christ. Our power is in Jesus Christ. Our strength comes from Jesus Christ. Our wisdom comes from Jesus Christ. The fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, goodness, gentleness, kindness, all that stuff that makes you remarkable in a fallen world comes from Jesus Christ and His worthiness as He hung on the cross. Why don't you come off of that cross? Because Dave's worthy of my sacrifice. Because Kirk's worthy of my sacrifice. And Alan's worthy of my sacrifice. Even Hank is worthy of my sacrifice. Guys, are you finding your worthiness in your abilities? Because you're going to be the most fear-based guy on the planet. You probably got medication in your pocket right now. or you got medication in a bottle. That's something you snort or pill you take. Because if you're going to be fear-based and you're going to look at what you're able to do, you're going to be afraid all the time. But when you look at what God can do and what God has done, then you're going to be a man of faith. You're going to be a man that humbles himself under the mighty hand of God. Because my God is able. Amen. Give me a strong amen on that.
Amen.
My God is able. Say it with me.
Amen.
My God is able. See, sometimes you need to shout it out. Sometimes you need to just express what the truth is. Because the devil can't read your mind. You can just think, my God is able. That helps. May help in the decision you're making. But when you say, my God is able, the devil goes, oh, crud. Now he's calling on God in his power. I can beat him in his power. I can defeat him when he's depending on himself, when he's focusing on all the crud. But man, when he starts focusing on the cross, when he starts focusing on Christ, when he starts declaring the truth, when he starts telling me to get out of my house, get out of my marriage, get out of my mind, I will not, and start making some declarations and vows before the Lord, I will not give in to this lustful thought. God, I take that by the nap of the neck, take every thought captive, and in the blood of Jesus Christ, I'm not going there. And you focus on Him. Now, you're not going to win every battle, but you're going to start winning battles that way. You're going to start becoming that man who declares who you are. You know why you're here. I'm here to serve the great high God. I'm an ambassador. I'm His representative. I'm the light of the world and the salt of the earth. You say that. You know, when you start saying that, all of a sudden something spiritually, chemically starts happening. You start believing it. You start knowing you're a man of God. That's not who I, that's what I, the guy comes along and says, yeah, I saw you do that. Say, yeah, you know, I did. I wish I hadn't. I don't want to again. I've already told the Lord to forgive me. Will you forgive me? Because I don't want to do that again. See, you don't have to run and hide. The guy comes and sticks his finger in your chest and you just go, you're right, thanks. If you've prayed a humble prayer, God, send men into my life who will rebuke me. Send circumstances in my life that will rebuke me, because I know if I'm not being corrected and rebuked, it's not because I don't need it. Somebody thinks I can't take it. And it's true, I don't like it very much, but I need it. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Seekest thou great things for yourself? Seek them not. God has a great reward for the humble, but I cannot tell you how bad it is for the proud. He resists the proud. There's a broad way and a narrow way. The humble go through the narrow way. The broken go through the narrow way. The weak go through the narrow way. The foolish go through the narrow way. And they're all that on a human level, but in Jesus Christ, they're warriors and men of God. He's called us out of the darkness into His marvelous light, into this world, into this battle today, in your home, in your marriage, in your job, in your thought life, in this fallen world that God is wrapping everything up. He needs some warriors, mighty warriors. And the only way you and I will ever be mighty warriors is if we humble ourselves and quit looking at our abilities, our power, quit having all this false humility. Oh, I can't do that. Oh, I'm not worthy. I'm sitting in the principal's office, Pete McKenzie principal, with all my extensive background. I was 25 years old. I graduated in textile management from the great Auburn University. Had no experience, no background, nothing on the wall, and I had a teacher who had her master say, I got a problem with you being my principal. I said, I do too. But here I am. I believe God wants me here. You're going to have to deal with that, and so am I. I go back and start dealing with it. God, what am I doing as principal of this stinking school? I got no background. I started going over all of my, I'm in the worst tribe, and I'm the least guy in the least tribe. And God said, okay, time out. I know all that. That's why I chose you. You know why I chose you? Because all those guys with degrees and background and experience, these erudite men, none of them let me run their school. With you here, man, I get to run the school. You're running to me all the time. Every time the phone rings, you're going, oh, God, don't let it be a parent. Don't let it be one of those angry, irate parents. Said, with you, the principal of the school, man, I get to run it. And I went, praise God. God gets to run the school because I'm so weak and inept and unable. That's our God. He comes into that guy and he makes him a warrior. He comes into that guy and he makes him a man of God. He comes into that guy and gives him courage. He doesn't have to be fearful. He's a man of faith. He doesn't care when the phone rings what it says on the other end, what the latest news is, what the Dow's doing. He doesn't care anymore. That stuff doesn't mean anything to him. He can't be run off by all that stuff. He knows who he is. He's a man of God. He knows why he's here. He's here to serve thee, a slave of all, to make Jesus Christ look good in every situation and circumstance. He knows where he's going. He knows ultimately we win. We're going to heaven. Between here and there, we get to battle. Don't waste your days of battle. And don't start mealy-mouthing or keep mealy-mouthing. Keep your eyes on God and just say, my God is able. Nothing God can't handle. That's your new motto. Nothing God can't handle. Because you know who's in charge. You know whose plan is working. You know whose authority you're under. And then that way, we're going to go out and change the world. Men like that are who change the world. So I don't know. I wish we had 30 more minutes or an hour to put you in small groups and let you discuss what you just heard. But discuss it with somebody. Discuss it with God. God just said something to your heart. God spoke directly to your heart. Speak back. Receive what God has told you. Receive the fact that he says, you're my son and you're my favorite. I don't care how you feel. I don't care what you think. You need to understand that I love you. I love you anyway. I loved you from the cross. I ask God to forgive you for your sin and for putting those nails in my hands at the cross. That still holds. That's still in vogue. Now you start speaking to the devil. You start speaking to your flesh. You start speaking to the world. Don't receive the lies from the world. You rely on the promises and the declarations of God. And God will set you free. The chains will come off. He sets men free all the time who will humble themselves and call out to him. So there's a guy next to you, around you, that needs to see you live in this life. He'll be encouraged to be a man of God, a man that's not fearful when he sees it in your life. When he sees you doing it, maybe he thinks, maybe I could be that kind of guy. That's how we men learn. We look at other men, and we see men of God. They're rare. Scarce as chicken teeth. But you be one of them out there, okay? Even today. Lock arms with a guy and let's pray. Father, that's what we're doing. We're locking arms together and we're praying and we're just saying, God, this is true. These things are real. And Father, we all come up short every day. But Lord, you have patience with us. You understand our struggle. And every time we humble ourselves and come to you, confess some sin, you're so quick to forgive. You're so quick to restore and reconcile us and to bring peace. Put your arm around us and say, come on, we got work to do. Thank you, Lord, that you have no trash heaps. Thank you that you love men like us. May we be worthy and live in a way that makes you look worthy to the world. And we'll give you the credit and the glory, for you alone are worthy. And all God's men said,
amen.
Go give them heaven, guys.